The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We saw in the House of Assembly this morning there was some information given about the latest to do with the Grand Lucayan Resort and the Grand Bahama International Airport. Now, while I will say that the Davis administration doesn't seem to have a very robust or focused legislative agenda, meaning I have no idea what their legislative agenda is, I don't see any important bills that have been tabled, that they're going to address anytime shortly. It seems that they're dealing with the resolution for land acquisition today for the owners of the Marriott Courtyard. And then we're going to take a pause until the mid-year budget, I guess. But anyway, they were talking about the land acquisition, and Chester Cooper, who's the Minister of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation, and the Deputy Prime Minister. We need, an abbreviation for Cooper. It's too much. It's too much to say Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Tourism, Aviation and Investments, and Exuma's and Ragged Island MP. It's a lot. We got to figure out, an abbreviation for him. In any event, he was talking about the Grand Lucayan Resort, and he said that Colliers International, which is a huge commercial real estate firm, is fielding calls for offers for the Grand Lucayan. Whoever's doing it has to show proof of funds to buy the Grand Lucayan. I have no idea what they're supposed to be selling at. Judge Cooper said $150 million. Doubtful that'll happen, but they also need to have a plan to reopen the Grand Lucayan and renovate it. And they also would have to show that they're serious about investing in Grand Bahama. All right. So the call for offers is supposed to end on March 2nd. Cooper said, I believe there are 7 serious offers. He didn't elaborate. I don't know what that means, serious offers. So there are 7 serious offers on the table, and that hopefully everything will be wrapped up soon. All right. The call for offers ends a month from today. Well, yeah, it ends March 2nd. Today's February 2nd. So a month from today, the call for offers will end, and hopefully we'll have the Grand Lucayan off our back. I don't see any possible way we're not going to lose a ton of money on it, but that is where we are. Cooper also talked about the Grand Bahama International Airport. Now, he said he was going to table the agreement entered into by the government of the Bahamas under the former administration with the previous owners of the airport. I haven't yet seen that. If he did table it, has he gotten back to me? But suffice it to say, Cooper said that we bought the airport after the owners had already collected the insurance money and left us with millions of dollars of work to do on the airport, which is pretty much what happened with the Grand Lucayan Hotel. So that just seemed par for the course for the last administration. I don't know if this administration will do better, but that's where we are. Now, Cooper also said, which was interesting and also distressing, somewhat for Grand Bahama, that since the airport was essentially destroyed for the most part during Hurricane Dorian, that the United States Customs and Border Patrol had suspended pre-clearance operations at that location. He said that the U.S. government has informed him, has informed our government, that the U.S. will be ceasing operations for pre-clearance at Grand Bahama International Airport permanently, and hopefully we'll chart a way forward to having pre-clearance there once again. Now, as far as I'm aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have pre-clearance on Abaco, pre-clearance was on Grand Bahama, and pre-clearance on New Providence. I'm unclear, I'm unsure where else we would have pre-clearance. But anyway, we've had pre-clearance, a pre-clearance agreement with the United States government since 1974, shortly after independence, and the United States is keen to continue that agreement. They just can't do it where they don't have facilities. Chester Cooper said they're trying to put generators there so their lights don't go out at night. They're installing elevators because whatever structure's there now, the employees have to take the stairs and it's onerous. And they're working steadily toward that. We didn't get a lot of different updates about what was going on, but Cooper, you know, he couldn't resist. He threw some shots at the former administration talking about the Davis administration's management of the pandemic as opposed to the Minnis administration's management of the pandemic. And I'm going to say quite clearly that the Davis administration's management of the pandemic has been light years better than the Minnis administration's management of the pandemic. Now, the first, 6 months of the pandemic, right, from about March to July, let's say August, I was allowing for a lot of uncertainty and a lot of, well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, so we're going to do X, Y, Z. So Cooper criticized the need for lockdowns that, or the use of lockdowns that the Minnis administration employed during the pandemic. Employed them for well over a year. As I said at the start of it, you could see the need for lockdowns. Pintard, who was upset about the Guardian talking about the FNM resorting to lockdowns, said that, you know, we should use it, you know, as a tool of last resort, have it in your arsenal. I totally disagree. I don't believe that lockdowns work. And the argument given by Minnis in defense of that was that the World Health Organization and the entire world, right, recommended that you do lockdowns based on certain testing thresholds. And I'm going to say this, and maybe I'm like the Joe Rogan of the Bahamas. You heard about Joe Rogan? He's a... Joe Rogan was on... I can't remember the name of the show. I think it was a show called News Radio with like Phil Hartman. And Joe Rogan was the handyman. Anyway, Joe Rogan's a comic. But Joe Rogan's got like the most popular podcast in the United States of America, which I find interesting. So now, you know, I guess news organizations like CNN, etc., expect Joe Rogan to have their standard, well, forget CNN, but a lot of the major news organizations expect Joe Rogan to have their standard of vetting guests, and they want Joe Rogan to come along with the notion that lockdowns are the answer, the notion that vaccines are the answer to the pandemic. And if anyone expresses any differing opinion on that on Joe Rogan's podcast, they want to have, it's on Spotify, they want to have Spotify pull down his podcast because he's giving COVID misinformation. I don't listen to Joe Rogan that much, but I have listened to Joe Rogan numerous times before, and I see these people with differing opinions talking about COVID-19, which I don't know what the hell is wrong with that, but a lot of weird stuff's going on in America nowadays. I don't understand why he must pull the podcast down or why he can't have someone saying that they have a differing view on COVID-19, because the science on combating COVID-19 is far from settled. So, for instance, with the lockdown with the World Health Organization, right, I'm going to say they were wrong. about that. And so everyone who jumps up and says, I'm going to talk about COVID-19 and freedom, and they'll say, well, you're spreading misinformation, they were wrong. Oh, you have to listen to me. You can go listen to Johns Hopkins University. Johns Hopkins University has released a study that concludes that lockdowns are not an effective way of reducing mortality rates during a pandemic, at least certainly not during the first wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. Johns Hopkins says their results are in line with the World Health Organization's writing group of 2006, which stated, reports from the 1918 influenza pandemic indicate that social distancing measures did not stop or appear to dramatically reduce transmission. The World Health Organization says that their findings are in line with Allen's findings of 2021 that concluded that the most recent research has shown that lockdowns have had, at best, a marginal effect on the number of COVID-19 deaths. The study says, mandates only regulate a fraction of our potential contagious contacts and can hardly regulate nor enforce hand-washing, coughing etiquette, distancing in supermarkets, etc. Countries like Denmark, Finland, Norway that realized success in keeping COVID-19 mortality rates relatively low, allowed people to go to work, use public transport, and meet privately at home during the first lockdown. In these countries, there were ample opportunities to legally meet with others. Johns Hopkins says, worse than that, lockdowns cause tremendous harm. Unintended consequences may play a larger role than recognized, says Johns Hopkins University. Not Juan McCartney, Johns Hopkins University. We're talking about the science, right? You say follow the sciences. You say Fauci and Dr. Francis Collins, who we've been listening to, are the big brains in science. They've repeatedly gotten things wrong. They said that COVID-19 vaccines would you couldn't get infected with COVID-19 if you got vaccinated. That's wrong. They said you couldn't spread COVID-19 if you got vaccinated. That's wrong. Minnis jumped up and made a point about vaccines and the pandemic, and I'm going to tell you why he was also wrong, and we should abandon that narrative, because when we find out that we know better and we find out that the science has evolved to give us a clearer picture of what's happening, we should abandon the old narrative and adopt what we know to be the newest information. So the newest information, according to Johns Hopkins University, is lockdowns don't work and they cause unnecessary harm. Not me saying this. This is Johns Hopkins University saying, in fact, the World Health Organization in 2006, counter to what the World Health Organization said in 2020, said that social distancing measures didn't stop or dramatically reduce transmission. Okay? And we also know vaccines don't stop or radically reduce transmission. I'm going to go on with this, but I'll tell you what Minnis had to say. In responding to Cooper said, we managed the pandemic and the cases went up with Omicron, but now they're coming back down, and we did it all without emergency orders or instituting draconian measures. And Minnis said, well, we had to do lockdowns. I mean, with the World Health Organization and all the other countries around the world were saying do, because we were following China, perhaps the second or most third authoritarian government on the planet. Did y'all listen to Lang show yesterday with the guy from the doctor from the Army College of War? That expanded my perception of what's going on globally with the United States, China, and the Bahamas, certainly, as well as the Latin American Caribbean region. I would urge you to listen to that if you didn't. It's required listening to understand better what's going on. But anyway, the world decided that we're going to follow China, right, which instituted authoritarian lockdowns, and that we're going to do that. And that works for a while with people. With China, that can work for a long time, because at the end of the day, no matter how frisky they get in China, they know the government runs things, right? But in societies that are founded on principles of democracy and freedom and civil liberties, it don't work. All right, and people are going to have pushback about it. And it's like, why the pushback? Well, because for hundreds of years, you've told us that we have inalienable rights that are granted to us just by virtue of being humans. And now you seek to pull those rights away from us, and you expect us to do what? All sit here quietly and say nothing? When you've taught us for generations that we have certain rights that God has given to us, and now now elected officials are going to tell us they're going to suspend those rights that are God-given, and we should all go along and say nothing and question nothing. It makes no sense. In any event, Mina said that they utilized lockdowns because the World Health Organization, everybody was saying to use lockdowns, and he said that the lockdowns were appropriate. I'm paraphrasing. He said the lockdowns were essentially appropriate because there was no vaccine at the time to stop the spread of COVID-19. Now, why Minnis, being a medical doctor, would get up in Parliament and say vaccines stop the spread of COVID-19? I have no idea, because they don't, right? And I say, like, I must be the Joe Rogan of the Bahamas, because I'm willing to say something that people somehow have been convinced not to say. Vaccines don't stop the spread of COVID-19. Last I checked, we had over 150,000 fully vaccinated Bahamians. And January, we recorded the most cases of coronavirus infections since the beginning of the pandemic. Having had vaccines for 9 months, having had like a menu of vaccines, right? I took several, all right? I took AstraZeneca. Then I took some Pfizer. I may take some Moderna, if we get that. Novavax line. I'm not taking any more vaccines for COVID-19 unless they come up with the one that sticks. We got Novavax is coming out with something. We could take some of that. I don't want none of the Johnson & Johnson. I'm sorry. It's watery. I don't want it. You already had to throw it away. Not for me. You want to take it? No problem. In any event, Minnis is saying that this was before they instituted lockdowns because we didn't have a vaccine. So, firstly, John Hopkins is saying the lockdowns didn't work. All right, and they caused more harm than it did good. Not me. Johns Hopkins. You want to go to Johns Hopkins and discredit all of them? Help yourself. This is Johns Hopkins University is saying this. It says, and its findings show, quote, lockdowns should be rejected out of hand. That's what Johns Hopkins University says. So firstly, Prime Minister Minnis, lockdowns don't work. All right? That's what Johns Hopkins has found. Secondly, vaccines don't stop the transmission of COVID-19. All right? If we're going to the science, what vaccines have been proven to do is reduce your risk of hospitalization, severe illness, and death. Okay? So the vaccines protect the people who take them. The vaccines don't stop community spread. Or else what just happened with COVID-19? Almost everyone I know who got COVID-19, aside from children under the age of 12, were fully vaccinated. In fact, every adult I know who got COVID-19 in this last wave was vaccinated. All right? And not one of them died that I know of. Not one of them went to hospital. And so hopefully the vaccine played its part and kept them out of the hospital and kept them out of the grave. But the vaccine helped them. All of these people who got COVID-19 in the last wave, they transmitted it to everyone in their household. Their entire households got it. No one escaped. Some were asymptomatic. Some were symptomatic. Cough, headache, fever was a very common one, particularly among the children. But nobody died. Nobody went to hospital that I know of. So it suggested they were infected with Omicron, because Delta has usually worse outcomes. But in any event, we can put to rest now the thought about lockdowns. I'm hoping, since Johns Hopkins University says so, right? This is the one of the major universities in the world that has been tracking COVID-19 infections. Johns Hopkins says that, it says John Hopkins. No, it's not John Hopkins. I like people to correct you when they don't know what they're saying. Google it, dude. It's Johns Hopkins University. Not John Hopkins. Johns Hopkins. I love it. I love when people correct me and they don't know what they're talking about. It's Johns Hopkins. Okay? Just so you know. So, again, I think we can put to bed the narrative that lockdowns help stop the spread of COVID-19, and that they work. And let's also put to bed the narrative that the COVID-19 vaccines that we have stop transmission of COVID-19. We should put that to bed, and we should go off what we know, is that we can have health protocols that help mitigate the spread of COVID-19, but it's going to become an endemic disease. And we have vaccines that help people prevent getting sickness and death. But you could vaccinate everybody in this country and everybody on planet Earth, and it's not going to stop COVID-19 from spreading. Okay? We got to take a break. Let's take a break. We'll be back. It's Johns Hopkins. Okay? Everyone's known that for a long, long time. You could have saved your money texting me. Stay tuned.
$6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Want to be the MVP of the party at big games this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash! All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay Stacks from participating grocery stores. Then you can throw the football. Well, come and play the throw and win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Solomon's Yamacraw. Just throw the football through the upright with instant prizes, including tablets, Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or crispy chicken filet, topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja Sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Welcome back to the revolution. We're talking about the lockdown thing. And then you say, well, you always talk about lockdowns. No, because you all tell me I'm crazy. That's why. Y'all tell me I'm crazy and I'm irresponsible and that sensible, right-thinking, Christian people know that lockdowns are the answer. You don't know that at all, and Johns Hopkins says you're wrong. It's Johns, the dude's name, who founded the university, like, before slavery ended, I believe. His name was Johns Hopkins. It's the oldest research university in the United States of America and one of the most respected research universities on planet Earth. It's named after a guy. His name was Johns. He was a Mormon or something like that. I don't know. Maybe they named people Johns, like the Martian Manhunter. Never mind. Johns Hopkins says that the lockdowns don't work, and so what I'm saying is, we're all saying, let's go into science, right? Okay, so the scientists are saying the lockdowns don't work. They cause more harm than good, all right? I'm saying this for two reasons. Let me finish reading from the thing. It says, unintended consequences may play a larger role than recognized. We already pointed to the possible unintended consequences of stay-at-home orders, which may isolate an infected person at home with his or her family, where he risks infecting family members with a higher viral load, causing more severe illness. But often, lockdowns, including shelter-in-place orders, have limited people's access to safe outdoor places such as beaches, parks, and zoos, or included outdoor mask mandates or strict outdoor gathering restrictions, pushing people to meet at less safe indoor places. Indeed, we do find some evidence that limiting gatherings was counterproductive and increased COVID-19 mortality. Uh-oh. Y'all gonna ban Johns Hopkins now? He's been tracking COVID-19 infections and deaths for almost 2 years. Are we going to cancel them too? Like we've been canceling other people? Are we going to adopt a different narrative? Because ministers still standing up in the House of Assembly talking about lockdowns being necessary because vaccines to end the transmission of COVID-19 weren't available. A, lockdowns aren't necessary. B, vaccines don't stop the transmission of COVID-19. And that's fine. You know what I mean? That's just fine. The vaccines we have help prevent severe illness and death, and that's good enough. You don't have to double down because you sold us a bill of goods at the beginning of the vaccine rollout that said you weren't going to get infected if you took the vaccine, and you weren't going to transmit it if you took the vaccine. You know better now, so you can change what you're saying now. Yes? Not a problem. What lessons should be learned? According to Johns Hopkins, the use of lockdowns, the university said, the study said, is a unique feature of the COVID-19 pandemic. Lockdowns have not been used to such a large extent during any of the pandemics of the past century. However, lockdowns during the initial phase of the COVID-19 pandemic have had devastating effects. They've contributed to reducing economic activity, raising unemployment, reducing schooling, causing political unrest, contributing to domestic violence, and undermining liberal democracy, which we'll talk about the perspective piece in a minute. These costs to society must be compared to the benefits of the lockdown, which our meta-analysis has shown are marginal at best. Such a standard benefit-cost calculation leads to a strong conclusion. Lockdowns should be rejected out of hand as a pandemic policy instrument. Okay? So, here's what I take from this, right? And from Joe Rogan and everybody else and their dog, okay? Here's what I take from this. The next time we have a worldwide medical crisis or situation, how about you let people actually debate the merits of what those who are in charge say should happen? How about you actually listen to different sides without claiming people are spreading misinformation, without claiming people are science deniers or anti-vax advocates. How about we actually weigh information based on the merits of the information and move forward from there? Guess what? There's a study coming out of Japan that shows therapeutic effects of ivermectin at certain dosage levels as a treatment for COVID-19. If you said, here's what all you said that we couldn't say. So we couldn't say that the virus possibly came from a lab in China, because that was somehow anti-Chinese to say that there was a lab leak in China. I don't get it. We couldn't say, and now that's made headlines around the world, that that's probably the most likely source of the virus. Remember when they shut everybody out for saying that? Right? They cursed you and your children if you dared to suggest that the virus came from a lab in China. Again, that the lab in China had the most coronavirus strain samples on Earth kind of should have tipped you off that that's something we should have looked at, but I guess nobody wanted to say that, so you couldn't say that the virus possibly came from a lab in China that had the most coronavirus samples on the planet that was doing gain-of-function research on viruses. You couldn't say that lockdowns didn't work and that stay-at-home orders and shelter-in-place orders were excessively punitive, right? Never forget the Coconut Boys. Never, ever forget. All right? When we remember back in history, never forget the Coconut Boys, who got arrested for trying to sell coconut water because they were a public health menace, clearly, on the side of the road. Never forget the Coconut Boys. Or the young guy who went to go get water from the public pump by himself in the middle of the night to go wash off his grandfather who had soiled himself. And he was arrested and charged in court. Never forget that that's what we did. That's where we let fear take us. All right? Remember when you had to be in your house by 7 p.m.? And our prime minister at the time was saying, arrest people if they're out, when he graciously put the curfew to 9 p.m. And he said, if they're out at 9:01 p.m., he told the police to arrest us. Remember when you had to have a letter to travel up and down the street? Have y'all forgotten? I won't. Right? I won't forget, like, on a Saturday, instead of taking the downtown route, I had my letter, right? And I drive up Wolf Road. I got stopped at 3 different barricades by police with machine guns because bullets are an effective measure against COVID-19. Right? Never forget. On my way to work, 3 times at 3 checkpoints, I got stopped by police with machine guns. What are you going to do if I run the barricade? You going to kill me? Are you going to shoot me? Because I'm such a menace to spread COVID-19? And all of us got wrapped up in this fever dream. And now we want to forget, right? It's kind of like, I won't go there. Anyway, it's kind of like after World War II, when you asked the Germans where they were, and they were like, oh, we were in Switzerland the whole time. We were skiing. We didn't know what was going on. It's kind of like that. Right? When y'all on social media going, lock them up. Lock the Coconut Boys up. What you want to go out for? Where you want to go? Remember? No one remembers this? Just me? Right? How easily we drifted into that? Never forget it. Never forget how quickly we went into that. And never forget how quick we were to stifle public debate about what our leaders were doing. Never, ever forget it. Never forget how quickly democratic societies can shift into authoritarian mode at the drop of a hat because someone seeds fear into you. Anyway, go check out Johns Hopkins. All right? Go check out Johns Hopkins. You ain't got to take my word for it, you know. Just like y'all quote Sarandos and... what did you do with him? Not Sarandos. Tedros. right? From World Health Organization. No respect. I rate you, dude. I just, you know, can't remember your full name right now. And all these other organizations, go check out Johns Hopkins, which has held the standard throughout the pandemic for tracking coronavirus infections and deaths, which is one of the most highly regarded research universities in the world. And you'll check out Johns Hopkins saying lockdowns don't work. All right? Now, let me go to some of your text messages. I'm doing this to shame a lot of you. Right? I hope you feel a great heavy burden of shame and regret for having scandalized people who dared to question what was going on. That's my sincere wish. Because common sense don't work. I find visceral emotions work to help change a bit. Shame, right? Guilt. These things. It says, okay, scientists were extrapolating information based on what was available to them at particular times. Then they revise their information as things evolve, saying they're deliberately lying, deceiving, and getting things wrong is not fair. But they did get things wrong. Here's the thing. I'm going to finish reading your text. When did Pfizer, because help me, if you have the clinical data from Pfizer's trials, help me, because it's not anywhere on the internets. When did Pfizer ever say that their vaccines stop infection? Because they never did. When did AstraZeneca ever say that? Not never, but that's what was said. So yeah, they were wrong. They never had that information. It says, unless you can prove they were deliberately deceptive, stop sowing doubt. No, I can, of course, I can prove they were deliberately deceptive. Not our scientists here. All right? I'm talking about the scientists at the World Health Organization. And a lot of the scientists in the U.S. Centers for Disease Control were wrong. They were deliberate. They were wrong. And not only were they wrong, Dr. Fauci's emails show that he suppressed discussion over the Great Barrington Declaration, tried to have these people discredited, that he urged people to smear those who were talking about a lab leak from China, all right? And that they pushed a view that vaccines could stop transmission of COVID-19 when they had no information to support that. All right. So don't forget, and don't tell me, oh, they only knew what was going on at the time. If you tell me, oh, I only know what's happening at the time, then how is that definitive enough to lock me in my house? Say, we don't know. We think these certain things will help. You lock people in their homes. They couldn't come outside their yard. My neighbors smoked the crack too. One or two of them were telling my kids they were going to call the police on them. Because they were outside. Because they were going insane. Being inside the entire day. They were outside their yard. There's a little like swing area in my neighborhood. They were over there. One dude legit told my children he was going to call the police. They were scared to death. You shut down all the schools. Stop it. You screwed up. Admit you screwed up. Don't come back now and go, oh, we didn't know. You shut down debate on every other point of view. You made people feel crazy. You talk about them like dirt on the radio, on social media. You scandalized those of us who didn't buy into this narrative that you were selling. Don't come back now. That was the best they knew at the time. If you don't know what you're talking about, if you're just guessing, then say that. And let's put all the options on the table, and we'll pick what's best. Hopefully not the most extreme curtailment of our civil liberties that we've seen since we became an independent nation. All right? And we're going to talk about the perspective piece, too, because I want you to understand what's at stake here. All right? And my hope is that we'll never have to go through this again. Not with something like COVID. If it's like Ebola, or like the disease that Stephen King cooked up in The Stand that killed like 90% of it? Sure, we can talk about that. Well, at that point, society's going to fall apart anyway, so we can discuss other sorts of measures, such as fiefdoms and martial law and things like this. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
Master of the Hounds.
You're listening to the Guardian News update on the hour. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Bethany McDermott. Thanks so much for tuning in. Here's what's making news. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism Chester Cooper says there are 7 serious offers on the table for the Grand Lucayan Resort, adding that that process is set to end on March 2nd. In December, the Davis administration pulled the plug on the deal with Royal Caribbean and the ITM Group for the Grand Lucayan Resort. At the time, Cooper said the terms negotiated under the Minister's administration were bad and provided no clarity on how quickly the project will be advanced. Meanwhile, former Cabinet Minister Ellsworth Johnson has officially been nominated to run as chairman of the Free National Movement. He will be competing in a 3-man race with former Health Minister Dr. Dwayne Sines and former parliamentarian Michael Foulkes. Also nominating at this hour is political newcomer and Sinhang's MP Adrian White for deputy leader. Earlier today, former Public Parks and Beaches Authority Chairman Shannon Don Cartwright made his bid for the race official.
It is this fight, this continuous fight that remains relative to this day, that brings me here to offer myself as the deputy leader of the Free National Movement. I come here today not in any ego-driven trip, if you will, not any reach for any sort of entitlement, but an appreciation of what it takes to serve others, to serve my body, and to serve the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
And the Ministry of Health and Wellness reporting 2 new COVID-19 related deaths yesterday. The individuals are females ages 65 and 85. One is from New Providence, while the other an Exuma native. Meanwhile, the country recorded 39 new infections. Hospitalizations stand at 86. Well, that's a look at stories making headlines at this hour. From the Guardian News Network, I'm Bethany McDermott. Have a great afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're talking about the latest research on lockdowns. I do run out with it because I am loath to think that those who were so quick to serve up their civil liberties and curtail those of us who didn't want to give them up, the civil liberties of those who didn't want to give them up, I would be loath to think that you take any comfort assuming that you did the right thing, because you didn't. And so I do run out with it because I was right. And when I'm right, I like to run out. That's just the kind of person I am. So the essential, listen, and you telling me that that's the best, your best guess at the time, right, and we just listen to you, doesn't give me any great deal of comfort, right? That's like me going to the clinic and I've got an infection in my hand, right? And the one doctor goes, we're going to have to cut your arm off, all right, to stop this infection from spreading. And I go to another doctor, and the other doctor says, no, you don't have to cut your arm off. Let's just try treating it, wait a while, and see what else happens. Let's take a different approach, and the other doctor gets a few of his friends and they go, nah, arm's got to come off. And then you go chop my arm off, I get an infection in my other hand, and I no longer listen to these guys who chop my arm off. I go to the other doctor And miraculously, he can treat my hand, and my arm, my other arm doesn't have to become chopped off. And the guys who chopped your hand off go, hey man, we were working with the best information we had at the time. I know you can't get your arm back, but it's what we knew. So, let's just keep it pushing. Not our bad or anything that we did that. Okay, I'll deal with some of your text messages. So I'm going to be angry because I'm not pushing the accepted narrative. And I'm so happy that I live in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that I can do this, because if I live in the United States, if I lived in the United States and I had a show that was as widely penetrated throughout the country as this one is, firstly, I'd be a millionaire. Secondly, they'd try to cancel me. Right? Like, remember I told you, I'll get to your text message, let me just say this. Okay, never mind. I'll get to it later. Now I'm gonna say it. Remember I told you, like, Good Morning America's trash, right? Like, complete, stupid, celebrity-worshipping, vapid trash is Good Morning America, as many millions of dollars as they spend on it and put into it, like a complete waste of any sort of intellectual buy-in is Good Morning America. It's the number one morning show in the United States of America, right? And ABC News is there. George Stephanopoulos, I don't know how much money they must have paid him to sit there while these goofballs talk about Demi Lovato's tweets. I'm sure they've had numerous pieces on Rihanna's pregnancy, right? And following Good Morning America is more trash. What's the other show? Anyway, it's trash. And then The View comes on, which is even more trash than what came before. Like, it's a morning full of steadily declining trash, right? That's all pushing the same narrative when they're not, like, gushing over celebrities updating their TikTok and Instagram accounts, right? So I've begged my wife, and after me telling her what stupid trash it was, she's like, you know, it is trash. So anyway, we move to watch the Today Show, which is less trash. Let's say that. So anyway, I told you about how incredibly dumb The View is, and Whoopi Goldberg, like the person who anchors The View, it's a talk show with all women, it's terrible. And Whoopi Goldberg is the worst one because she knows nothing, right? I know, she played Miss Seeley. I loved it too. Don't get me wrong, right? But she's lost, right? Anyway, Whoopi Goldberg had like a slightly different view on the Holocaust. I know this because I watched the Today Show, which is trash. It's not as much trash as Good America. Let me take that back. I don't mean to do that to you, Today Show. You're doing much, much better than Good Morning America. So she had like a view that the Holocaust wasn't about race, the persecution of the Jews, which doesn't make sense to me, but that's what Whoopi Goldberg is saying, and she's conflating with race in the vein of being black or African-American versus being Caucasian, right? Anyway, Whoopi Goldberg comes on, apologizes, says, I'm sorry, I said that, I didn't mean to say it, which, you know, that doesn't work anymore in the States. That's why I'm happy I'm in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, even though the States is pretty awesome. That doesn't work anymore in the States. If you do that in the States, if you say anything that anybody in any significant measure might find offensive, then you have to apologize, prostrate, flagellate yourself, right, until you've collected enough blood on the ground to make a sacrifice to the gods of social justice, right? So not only does Whoopi Goldberg apologize for something that I didn't think was that deep, they suspend her from the show for like weeks, right? And again, Whoopi Goldberg on The View is trash, and the entire View is trash, as is Good Morning America. My wife has a cousin who works for ABC News, who like works with Good Morning America. He's not trash. Like, the entire like premise of the show outside of the news is trash, though. But Whoopi Goldberg gets suspended. I say all that to say, I'm happy that I live in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, because the likelihood of me getting in any trouble for saying any of this stuff about vaccines and COVID-19 and lockdowns is like slim to none. Whereas if you live in the States, you can't even say it. They like ban you off social media. All right, now. I'd get in trouble for just saying Whoopi Goldberg was trash. If I were to say, and trash it, the entire show is trash. These people make millions of dollars. Am I jealous that they make millions of dollars and they're trash? Yes, I can't lie. But it doesn't motivate me to call them out as being trash. He said, don't forget the boy who was charged for selling gas out of his house because they closed all the gas stations. Anyway, I'm saying all this to inform you so that next time you're armed with information and a perspective that says to you that it's not okay to stifle intelligent debate. It's not okay to ask for a second opinion. To not ask for a second opinion. It's not okay to tell people that they can't question policymakers. It makes absolutely no sense. And a little bit of fear will drive you right into the arms of totalitarianism. Just a smidgen of it. So did you hear what Whoopi said about the Jews? Yeah, I told you that. I just explained it. Yeah, she got they suspended her off of The View, which I meticulously explained as trash. Right? So, like the entire ABC morning lineup, I don't know what's happening. I won't watch it. I won't let my children watch it. That's for certain. Says McCartney, there's an audience for each show, as the saying goes, to each his own. That's fine. I'm just giving my opinion about it. You can love it. It says, well, I'm sorry to say, but the fact that those pushing this nonsense COVID response, including the doctors, have not lost any credibility, and it implies that nothing was learned. If amateurs could figure out what was going on with the little information we had, the powers that be should have figured it out. Just thank God you brought the Holocaust thing. Could you see if all local Jews think Jewish is a race? I was really confused by the uproar. For example, when there's a genocide of blacks by Muslims, no one says it is, but blacks by black Muslims, no one says it's racism expired. I think more like Jewish traits would be along the lines of ethnicity. And Hitler, of course, did speak about a master race, and he viewed these things in terms of racial superiority. But that's just part of a conversation, right? That's not something that if you give a particular point of view on that could change or might be informed by a lack of perspective or information that you should have to go away over. It, as trash as Whoopi Goldberg and The View are, I don't think that her saying that means that she has to go away and the entire View has to go away. It'd be nice if The View went away. It says, what a wasted 2 years for our school kids. Yeah. That's what it was. This says, don't forget the ban on beaches, then opening up until only 10 a.m. in the morning, and sending COVID police to harass families to get off the beach at 10 a.m. Trust me, I'm never forgetting. When you see little children being rushed off the beach by COVID police, never forget. It says, yeah, one old man asked us if COVID was over since we're walking around the park. People were insane. I don't think these people have learned at all. Next pandemic will fall back into these same positions. They don't mind controlling people for their own safety. It's motivated by selfishness. I mean, I think it's motivated by, like, this penchant to drift into groupthink. And that's just something I've never been into, like, with anything. And I'm willing to be wrong, and I'm willing to have my opinion be challenged, but I don't just, everybody says, hey, yeah, this is what we should, I don't follow that. So the strangest thing about Whoopi Goldberg's story is, one, she's Jewish, and two, she's right. 25 million people died in concentration camps, only 6 million of which were Jewish. Yeah, I think my point about Whoopi Goldberg is like that it's a part of a conversation, right? And if you can no longer come into a conversation with your own opinion, even if it's an uninformed opinion, then what's the point of having dialogue? Then just issue directives as to what we should all think and do And let's stop pretending that we're sentient, independent beings who are capable of critically analyzing the world around us and coming to our own conclusions. Many of us will agree. Many of us won't. But it can't just be one set of opinions, because your opinions aren't informed by facts. Your opinions are informed by guesswork, modeling, etc., which has been effective at times, but for the COVID-19 pandemic, didn't work. Let me go back to the beginning. It says yes to $80,000 a year press secretary. It's payback time for attacking Clint in Dubai against the media. Me, I attack Clint. I was happy to see Clint in Dubai. I'm mad at Clint. Go get your paper, dog. One, did you see how the UK did away with a lot, if not all, of their COVID protocols? One, all the reports from Israel show exactly what you're saying. Bro, keep up the good work. Everywhere around the world, the most vaccinated countries had the highest number of COVID cases. Food for thought. Because what we did, right, is we drifted into this thing where anything you said that was counter to the prevailing narrative of the CDC, the World Health Organization, etc., meant that you somehow were denying that COVID was real or that it could become a very serious, deadly threat. If you question anything, you were painted with this brush that you deny the very premise that COVID is real and that it was dangerous. Could be dangerous for a lot of people. For 98% of people, they will survive just fine. They say 95% of people will survive. There's a percentage of people who will have long COVID who will unfortunately be impacted. But to buck the prevailing narrative at all, like you saying, dude, I don't think lockdowns are necessary. Oh my God, you don't believe in COVID. You think COVID's not real. It's not going to, and you're like, that's not what I said though. I can both believe that COVID is a dangerous, potentially dangerous disease, particularly to those who are immunocompromised and those who are older, and still believe we can carry on with civilization. The two things can exist at the same time, right? I can believe that COVID is dangerous and the governments have to take some action without believing that you should roll back my rights to move around. The two things can exist at the same time, right? To me, the job of the state is never, ever to wield this bludgeon and say, you can't leave your home, you can't go X, Y, Z. Public health protocols, fine. Seizing my right to move about freely? No. That's too far. And I don't think I'm crazy for saying that. I don't think I'm crazy for bringing it back up, because I'm not going to let you guys forget. I'm not going to let you guys forget slavery. Clearly, they're not forgetting the Holocaust around the world, looking at what happened to Whoopi Goldberg. I'm not going to let you guys forget your response to the pandemic and how everybody bought along and like was like, yeah, let's just do it. Because the next time you come to me with it, I'm going to point to all this. And it's uncomfortable for a lot of you to hear, because a lot of you were wrong. And you know you were wrong, and you're trying to, like, retcon it to make excuses. Well, it's the best we knew at the time. If all you got is anecdotal data, then don't expect me to follow that in lockstep. We got a phone call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? All right. You can call me. 323-6232. 325-4316. And 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796. 422-4796. All right? So let me read a bit from the Perspective article in the Nassau Guardian on Monday for you. Okay? This says, this is called Freedom is Not Free. Bahamians must be vigilant to prevent further abuses. This says, when we discuss the damage caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, this is by Sharon Turner. It says, when we discuss the damage caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, we typically focus on loss of life and damage to economies, employment, and the education of children worldwide. What we do not take nearly enough stock of is the damage responses to the pandemic has caused to democracy and freedoms inextricably tied to human rights. Such freedoms include freedom of expression, freedom of movement, protection from arbitrary arrest or detention, and freedom of conscience, which, while generally viewed as freedom of religion, specifically refers to one's freedom to think and to hold or change one's viewpoint and beliefs. From Canada and the Americas to the continents of Europe and Australia, large-scale protests continue against COVID restrictions and mandates, with such protests also having erupted in some Caribbean countries. The economic and social impact of COVID responses in Latin America, meanwhile, have triggered a cascade of protests and dissent against governments of the day. As the pandemic raged on, global watchdog groups warned of a rise in authoritarian rule and restrictions on press freedom, as heads of government adopted states of emergency that suspended constitutional rights and were threats of imprisonment if one's expressions were not in line with the will of the state, became a chilling facet of the new normal. Let me stop here, right? You're going to listen to that, right, and say, she says, threats of imprisonment if one's expression were not in line with the will of the state became a chilling facet of the, quote, new normal. Now, I know a lot of you. Your immediate reaction to that, I'm going to repeat it. Threats of imprisonment if one's expression were not in line with the will of the state became a chilling facet of the new normal. Okay. And you're going to say, but that didn't happen in the Bahamas. And I'm going to say to you, well, you weren't paying close attention. Did you forget when our former prime minister, in the guise of the competent authority, said that anything deemed as fake news about the COVID-19 pandemic could lead to fines or imprisonment? You remember, right? He declared on television and wrote an emergency order, anything determined to be fake news could get you fined or put in prison. Somebody help me with this one, because I was never quite clear, and no lawyer or attorney general or any agent of the government could actually make it clear to me. What is the definition of fake news in the emergency order that could get you fined or imprisoned? Does anyone know? Or was it only what the competent authority deemed to be fake news? Because where was the proven science about certain things when our competent authority decided that if we put out fake news on social media, on the airwaves, in print, you could get thrown in prison or fined? Where, anyone know what the guidelines were for fake news? Was there a definition outlined in the emergency order? Because I never found one. So you're going to say to yourself, well, that didn't happen. No one threatened to throw us in prison if we weren't expressing our views in line with what the state said should be our views. That happened right here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Oh, great, great. Mr. McCarthy, I have never heard you do a better show since since that Black Day March. Remember that day?
Which day?
Hello?
Hello?
You remember the day you did that show? But anyway, that's not important. This is a great show.
Thank you.
Because when I called other shows expressing the same thing, like Mr. 52 always did, we were aligned as conspiracy theorists and all that kind of stuff. Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. And I'm just so glad that today I feel less insane, because the truth is coming out. I mean, there was a conspiracy placed upon this world. Maybe I saw like too much like Mr. 52. That who didn't believe this theory. And I was thinking, I'm sorry, I gotta tell you, that your radio station, The Guardian, I thought you were part of it. And maybe you're not. And I'm gonna shut up real quick because I know you gotta move on. One time I joined the early show, I'm not calling any names, based on some fears and warnings they were putting out that was stressing me out more than the virus itself. And the man hung up on me, and he just moved on. I said, how could I be dismissed without even considering what I'm saying? And I thought, you know, like the other station up there, right next to yours, I won't call any names. He had the same. And I'm like, now only the other station, Steve McKinney, he's the only guy who's coming out like you are, making some sense about this craziness. It's just a flu. I'm sorry, some people would die from it, and God knows I'm sorry about it. But some people would die from it, but most of us will live. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thanks. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I heard a lot of wild, wild stuff when COVID-19 was raging, right? Like microchips, 5G, et cetera, Bill Gates, the reptile people, the Bilderbergs, a lot, right? So I was an open like every single thing, but in terms of questioning this drift into authoritarianism, I always did. And to the chagrin of many, many, many people. People come up to me, I had so much respect for you, McCartney. I go, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because if you ever listened to me before and you claim you have respect for me, you know I never sit here and just go, let's adopt the narrative that those in power are telling us. It's the exact opposite. I always question it. All right? And I guess for some, they thought, well, that just mean like Minis and like the Ministry of Health. Yeah, no, that's for the world, dude. That's for the universe. If like Thanos came and started talking to me about how we gotta purge half the population, I'd be like, hold up, Thanos. That don't really make sense to me. Right? So it ain't exclusive to the Bahamas, it's universal. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
Okay, listen, what I just heard from you, what the Prime Minister said, I mean, I was kind of shocked. I never heard it, but I take your word that he did say it.
He sure did.
And the truth is, why would he say something like that? It sounds like we're living in China or something. Do we live in China or do we live in the Bahamas? And what was the purpose of saying that? Was he trying to set up a dictatorship that he could be the sole ruler of this democracy? I'm not sure, but the disinformation that been said with this information back then, you're finding out now that it's actually the truth. Because what you're finding out, let's say for instance, hydroxychloroquine, everybody had a big war about that. But in July of last year, they say had people taking hydroxychloroquine early, it could have helped with the virus. And now they're coming and find out now, just today or yesterday, they did a university study where they said lockdown did more damage to the social and economic framework of the world and economies than ever before. But that was considered back then misinformation and fake news. Now we're finding out, we're going to continue to find out as we move along in this pandemic, which I think is over. As far as I'm concerned, it's over because Denmark, they get rid of all the restrictions. I think other countries got rid of England. Go away with all restrictions of the COVID-19. And so we have to move on and learn how to live with this virus. The people I think want to keep this going are people who's going to benefit politically and economically. And that is why I say we need the Bahamas now to say, hey, listen, Mr. Prime Minister, we got to remove all restrictions. We got to be careful. We are adults. We know how to live with this virus. We understand this virus. And as things progress, we're going to find out more and more about this virus, and we're going to see that a lot of things went wrong, and the disinformation really came from the people who were supposed to be guiding us through this pandemic.
All right, thanks, Matt. I'm going to say this. I don't think the pandemic's over just by the very definition of what a pandemic is. As you can see how quickly Omicron spread throughout the globe, that's what a pandemic does, right? But I think the approach to it is changing. And I'm going to tell you what happened here, right? While we're talking about Johns Hopkins, we're going to one day soon talk about the Wall Street Journal and the, what's the other? Newspaper. Anyway, we're going to talk about the analysis of the redistribution of wealth in the world that occurred over the course of the pandemic. And spoiler alert, the rich got even richer and the poor got even poorer. We had a call, let's do it. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Hey, bro, what's up, man?
I'm good, how's it going?
Hi, all is well, my brother. You can get down on my people today?
No, man, I'm talking about...
You know, hey, it's something called, I was telling someone yesterday, it's something called constructive criticism.
No, I'm really...
If you got a thing called common sense, when people criticize you, that's only thing you can do better.
I'm just saying, I wasn't talking bad about the PLP at all. The approach that the Davis administration has taken to COVID-19 is just it's not perfect, but it's a breath of fresh air.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
But I listened to the deputy, Mr. Jackson Cooper, talking in the House earlier, and Michael Pintard, Mr. Michael Pintard was saying something, and Mr. Jackson Cooper had to remind him about something, and it was, you remember when the gentleman went to get the water, the baby's boy, I think his mother or father.
His grandfather. Yeah.
His grandfather. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know something?
They threw him in jail to stop the spread of COVID-19. Put him in a cell with others to stop the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Let me see what I have to say to you. Okay. Now that the country is open up, we're coming back to some sort of normalcy. How is it that the country's open up 24 hours and this COVID situation is still the same? Because I was under the impression, you remember at one time, one that he locked the country down 9 o'clock. I used to be saying, you mean to tell me COVID only come out 9 o'clock, 10, 5 o'clock?
None of it made sense to it. None of it. None of it. And people took me to war over it, and none of it made sense. And I regret nothing.
Okay, so the country's open up now. So people who took one and other persons to war, when people were saying, open up the country, try to balance the economy along with this COVID. Now you all see it's happening. So what was the big deal? But I can say this to you, what? If the Bahamian people did allow Mr. Minnis and his government to win September the 16th, 2021, I guarantee you, Mr. McCartney, I might have been calling your talk show, but I am a bit of joyful and a little bit happy to people when I see people in the food stores, shopping, gas stations open up 24 hours. Come on, man. You cannot give Minnis no credit. And a person like him, they need to put him in the back. What is a backbencher? What is he now, Mr. Valley?
Yeah, I would consider he's a backbencher. Yeah, he doesn't have a... He's a
I thought he was going to call a by-election for Kalani, but it's soon come. Now, how much will come down? I'm a good one, bro.
Right. I'm not even tripping, right? Like, off Minnis. I just don't want him to continue the same narrative. He clearly was in a bubble to where people said, yeah, this makes total sense, and let's do it. And then the World Health Organization tells you it makes sense and everything, and nobody's supposed to question that, right? But we got to take a break. That's fine. I'll say this, right? What we're not going to do, we're not going to be like Italy after Mussolini was, like, deposed. We're not going to just go, oh, what happened for the past 6-7 years? No, we're not doing that, right? We're going to admit to the things that screwed up. And if you're honest with yourself, admit you bought into nonsense groupthink, and let's now move forward, critically analyzing things as sensible people. Stay tuned.
Relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you. because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport. Tips for keeping children healthy. Ensure that children are up to date with their vaccinations, including the flu vaccine. Make sure that your children practice preventative actions such as proper hand washing. Teach them to cover their nose and mouth with tissue or the inner elbow when coughing or sneezing. Encourage them to keep their hands away from their eyes, nose, and mouth. Explain that they should keep their distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Keep your children home when they are sick.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Claret Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
Girl, Joni just showed me Bala Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy? She don't want Bala hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child. So what are you doing in Junior phone?
He there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happen, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl, everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything but you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Plus, 8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Welcome back to the revolution. Your own Guardian Radio says, ease up off Whoopi Goldberg. I like her. I like her too. Like, not on The View. The View is garbage. I like Whoopi Goldberg. Jumpin' Jack Flash. Remember that? Clara's Heart. Remember Clara's Heart? Where she played a Jamaican? With Doogie Howser? No? Clara's Heart. She was like his Jamaican maid. They probably wouldn't even make that movie today. She was Jamaican, this white boy's Jamaican maid in New York. Doogie Howser, Barney from How I Met Your Mother. I can't remember his name. He was in it. This is before How I Met Your Mother. It was like right after Doogie Howser. That's how I remember it. Him and Whoopi Goldberg. She was a Jamaican housekeeper and she saved his life. It was beautiful. Alright, this says, I would have given you the title Joe Rogan in the Bahamas if you questioned the vaccine more, Juan, but you're taking them like a Spring Break 25. Shots. It says, can we agree that governance is fluid and the situation now as opposed to the outset of the pandemic is starkly different? I mean, it is different. It's different. But I say that it's so different that it was so different back then that it warranted those measures? No, I wouldn't say that. Says, by the way, I felt Whoopi's pain in that apology. Yeah, I mean, you ain't gonna cancel Whoopi Goldberg. Clara's heart was beautiful. Y'all know that? Go look it up on Amazon. It's a gem. Whoopi Goldberg. It's one of her best roles. She didn't really nail the Jamaican accent, but, you know, points for effort. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gardner.
Hey, how's it going, my brother?
Yeah, I'm all right. I would like to be blissful, right? But, you know, the thing is, the mind is heavy. So the gentleman who called, you know, I appreciate him, but you don't have to worry about sounding like me because I speak the truth. I don't really worry what people think. I don't need anybody to agree with me. But, you know, that's just the way it is. So the confidence is not arrogance. And so, about a year ago, I had a conversation with you on the radio, and I said that, Mr. McCartney, I said, when we look back in retrospect and with a panoramic view, right, of this whole COVID protocols, et cetera, and lifestyle that they created, right, we'll be able to see a folly in the scientific subterfuge, right? You know, getting into it is too difficult on the radio if you don't have the time, but the thing is, we must realize that technology in itself, you see, I'm born in a different era, so I have a different message and a different psychological outlook. All right? The young people have to live with this. Technology and data rights and surveillance and panopticism is moving faster than the law. All right? That's a fact. That's a fact. And so they're unable to keep up with it. So you have the technocrats really driving their own agenda, and then the government having to keep up with it. And so every information, everything is stored in the cloud. They send it to the big companies. They decide what they can do with the information. In Europe, I think it's a little bit more legality. Maybe see how they can call and speak about these things, right? But the thing is, a lot of people talk about conspiracy theories. Like I said, Ron, when you say you're not a conspiracy theorist, to me, you haven't read enough or you don't want to be. There's no such thing as conspiracy theorists. These are facts. And so there are a lot of things that I was saying over and over on the radio, but people wouldn't go and investigate. And one was the Kissinger Report, National Security Study Memorandum 200 and 220, and that is a book called Technocracy Rising, The First Global Revolution, the report from Iron Mountain, and Silent Weapon for Quiet Wars. So, you know, the thing is, this is not about me. I have my unique knowledge, and everybody has their own unique knowledge, but I cannot be gaslighted into things that I know. And so that is just a fraction of just a lot of things that people can look into. But we all being, our minds are being funneled because they have different paradigms that they create. Like I said, they could use the cyber attack. They have the pandemic, which is bio warfare, right? Then they have the threat of climate change, etc. They have different trump cards they can put on the global sheet. But this is all mentioned in the book, The First Global Revolution. And so they decided that they would use these common global threats to unite the world. So when you read the Iron Mountain Report, you know, and the thing is about the you dismiss. You see, when you dismiss things, all right. Let's say people talk about the 5G. I'm able to juxtapose the 5G with my neo-fetching and electroporation. I said a long time ago. I said, one, look at what electroporation is. I say, don't they know exactly what it is? The exposure to the 5G is electroporation, my neo-fetching. These things actually facilitate the proliferation of the cell wall. These are transfection methods that transduce vaccines and chemicals into the cell. These type of science exist. This have nothing to do with me. But the lack of knowledge is a lack of consciousness. I listen to you because I learn from you also. When you're discussing certain geopolitical and certain things, I listen. Not every word you use, I understand, you know. But people get offended and talk about 52 using these and this. You know, Warren, that is offensive to me, you know. I'm a part of the collective sheep. So obviously I would represent the sheep and not the status quo. But because what people don't know, then they fight you down. And now, I have only one text. I said, text one time and say 52 and Donald Trump should be vindicated. I'm not on a level with Donald Trump. But like I said, don't hang on me because 52 rides a bicycle. He doesn't go in here, but he doesn't care. He doesn't worry what people see. In life, we have been trained as in the diaspora slaves to despise one another and love the status quo and love our subservience. True group psychology or mass psychosis via the media, media, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of different information. So the former PM, you know, if I could know the science, obviously you know the science. They haven't shown the data on many things, Juan. And you know that, Juan.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I got to bounce. That's what they do. Says, what about never forgetting the number of loved ones lost during the deadly surge? No doubt. Don't forget the number of people's loved ones lost to COVID-19. during the deadly surge, and while you mourn them, I want you to also not forget to mourn the people who died because they didn't have clinics so they could have detection for cancer, the people who couldn't get treatment for cancer, for heart disease, for other life-threatening conditions that kill them. While you mourn those who died during the surge, mourn those who died alone when their children couldn't come visit them. Mourn those who committed suicide because they weren't in a social environment or didn't have access to any help. Mourn those who drifted back into drug addiction and alcoholism that probably killed them too. Shed a tear for those who succumbed to domestic abuse and molestation because they were locked inside their homes in unsafe situations. Don't just mourn the people who died during the surge for COVID-19 by any means. When you mourn, mourn all that were impacted by not only COVID-19, but the measures that were put in place that we were told were necessary, right? Mourn everybody. Mourn people like my mother, who slowly deteriorated with vascular dementia while she couldn't see doctors. Mourn my family, who went through all of that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
I'm good. Today, first, I think it was David or something like that.
Who?
Gentleman called. He asked a question.
Yeah.
What's the difference between now and when the former government had the lockdown?
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is there were no vaccine, and we know that the vaccine now allows a lot of movement. Because persons are vaccinated, they are more movement, they are more opening, not just in the Bahamas, but all around the world. That's the first point.
People are vaccinated so they can move around more freely?
Yes, because of vaccination.
How does that aid movement?
More economies are open around the world, more movement of people, etc., rather than lockdown. And that's a fact.
So vaccines, in your opinion, do what exactly?
While it may not stop you from getting the virus, it helps you in terms of your not getting sick to the point that you'll be laid up in hospital. And that's a fact.
Okay.
And the second point is, we've been changing government from 2002. So would you say that the government would have changed in any event, even if COVID-19 did not come about?
Probably.
Okay. So that's the point I make. So again, I know we beat up Dr. Minister and all this about the handling of the how we handle COVID-19. I believe they were going to lose, even if COVID-19 did not come about. So the justification of losing the election, as people would say, as a means of how we handle the COVID-19, I don't see a relationship and all that stuff in it.
You don't think that contributed to him losing the election?
No, because I think they would have been gone before that, even before the vaccine, even before COVID came about, they would have been gone.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, then.
Okay, yeah. This says, holy crap, you're absolutely correct, Juan. I completely forgot about the machine gun barricades. Scared the hell out of me. This is one. The three most difficult words to say are, I was wrong. It says, let's not forget Dr. Andrew Hill admitted to Dr. Tess Lurie that he couldn't back the ivermectin treatment because his donors wouldn't allow it. This says, now, what we should have done was modify China's approach, establish controls, protocols, data collection, data monitoring that would allow us to respond quickly and to analyze the whys. We did none of that. Just watching the data told me our situation was very closely related to tourist seasonal travel. Anytime we went into peak tourist season, our numbers went up dramatically. Our cycles were 4 months long, no matter what we do. To me, it represented the time it took for the virus to touch every person in society. I hear people say November cases went up because the PLP relaxed controls. That's wrong. The 4 months from the July Delta wave ended in October, the tourist winter season brought Omicron equals new wave. Also, we're now in the fifth wave. That also told me that the five graph bumps from March 2020 are very clear. All right, we got to go to break. We'll be back on the other side.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Brands. Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best. The animals, the birds, the men on the sea, protecting since 1913. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. All the world's covered me. J.S. 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 Johnson Insurance.
Want to be the MVP of the party pick big games this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay Stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the throw and win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Solomon's Yamacraw. Just throw the football through the uprights with instant prizes, including tablets, Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Good afternoon, Bombers. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. It says, hi, sir. Yes, that Sharon Turner perspective this week was really enlightening. We as a nation must take it very seriously. The Bible said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Only a few will see the truth. It says, one, Whoopi can't play Jamaican, isn't she? Whoopi Goldberg Jamaican? I don't know that. What's that? I don't eat that, dude. You have it. Oh, you just want me to talk about it? What's your show to me for? I don't want it. You eat it. I can't eat it. You eat it. Have our friend on the board eat it. No, I don't. I can't. I can't eat it. I can't eat hamburgers. It's not. I get judged for eating peanuts and popcorn. And if it's the fourth week, come back to me 2.5 weeks from now. Oh, just say thanks. Oh, never mind. I'll do that tomorrow. My bad. Remind me. We'll let it blow over. We'll let everything I said just blow over. And remind me tomorrow. And I'll shout about, I can't do it now. Well, it's going to feel disrespectful if I do it now. I can't. No one knows what we're talking about. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. All right? Nobody knows. Just you and I. It says, also mourn the marriages that died because of the mandates. Well, there you go. It says, hey, Juan, at least you speak your mind on important issues in this country. Keep up the good work, sir. It says, please remember my mother who died because of lack of access to treatment. It says, Whoopi was right. Okay. So what do you think of Australia? People still can't travel in or out. I don't know what that's about. Juan, you know Whoopi's best role was on Star Trek? She was on Star Trek The Next Generation. That's right. She was bomb in Star Trek The Next Generation. You are correct, sir. Why'd she stop acting? I guess The View's just like a lucrative thing and she ain't got to do too much. It says, Juan, you just yuck up so much negative emotions in me with this topic today, but I digress. You mentioned groupthink. I think that was the majority of what the difference of opinions was all about regarding the writing on the wall, that all these mandates made no sense. There's a doctor to this day on Facebook who swore that I was crazy one for pointing out the vaccines were all about politics. It says, Revolution, if we could only trust the news, history would be rewritten. Look at the question about Nazism being about race. if the Nazis and the Jews are the same European race, how can Nazism be, in fact, racism when the Jews are not, in fact, a different race? Listen, I'm not a geneticist, okay? So I can't tell you the specific race of ethnic Jews in Europe. I think most of them are Ashkenazi Jews, or were. And there is an element of ethnicity there. I think the thing that Whoopi Goldberg might have missed was that while many Jews phenotypically look like the other were oppressing them, their persecution was based on the fact that they were seen as an inferior race that was polluting the Aryan bloodline, all right? The bloodline of the Aryan race. And so they wanted to wipe those out so they could have perfect men. I don't know if you ever heard the concept of the Übermensch, the Superman. That was Hitler's ideal. And so the Jews were seen as an ethnic minority that was polluting Hitler's quest for the Übermensch, and they were persecuted on that basis. So you can argue about race in that context. I mean, it's a nuanced discussion to have. I don't think you just go, well, you don't know what you're talking about, you're suspended and you're out of the show, and I don't know that that did anything or moves anything forward. One, you forgot we were going to the food store in alphabetical order. Yeah, I know. There's a song. Anyway, it says, one, Jews are not a race. Why do we have to make ethnic cleansing worse than it is by saying it is racism? Well, my thing is, I think that's part of a discussion, right? And so you could have people who are better informed about the discussion weighing in, but I don't think you excommunicate people for saying something that you don't think should be a part of the discussion unless it's wildly out of the realm of participating in discussion. It says, but let's get it straight. There was a lot of misinformation and stupid microchip narratives being there. Let's not forget that also. There's a limit to so-called... I mean, absolutely. Like I said, I heard a lot of wild stuff during the height of the pandemic that I didn't agree with. I never said COVID-19 wasn't real. I just said certain prescriptions and applications that we put in place for COVID-19 didn't make a lot of sense. And it turns out the data bears that out. All right? And you could, what about, everyone was doing it and all this other stuff like that. Again, that's what they said, you know, after fascism ended in Italy. Well, everyone was, you know, we can't, you know, that's what they said during the Truth and Reconciliation trials following apartheid. It was just what we were doing. It was just how it was. Yeah, but just because that's how it was doesn't make it right. You know? Anyway, we got to get out of here. We got a call. We got one more call. I couldn't get to all your texts. You know, if you're going to be mad at me, stay mad. Is backed by science, so you bring your science, not mine from Johns Hopkins, and we'll have that discussion. All right. It's kind of like, I'll say this quick. It's not there. When I had Dr. Ali Muhammad on 2 days ago, and we were talking about this, he was talking about reparations, and I was like, "There's this view that we should all move on, like everyone wants to move on, without actually recognizing." The people who were impacted when the crazy stuff happened, right? So let's all move on from slavery, right? It's over 150 years ago. Let's all move on. Yeah, it's easy for those who weren't disadvantaged to say, let's move on. You didn't feel it the way I felt it, and generations later, you still don't feel it the way I feel it. So you're telling me to move on because, what, you don't want to talk about it? About how I feel? We can't talk about how I've been impacted? Because you feel... How so? All right, we gotta go. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Island Wholesale, Wendy's, and Fidelity Bank Bahamas.